It's time for a Someone Probably Died special episode.
I am realizing that there are these unsolved mysteries.
So we have a few things that we need to follow up on.
Let's go ahead and dig this grave. Keep going.
I mean, I say we go all in. Let's just go there.
Time for deadly hypotheticals.
Uh-oh. There goes one listener. Sorry.
So we have some listener questions.
What are you talking about?
Oh, jeez.
Deadly shorts.
You know a serial killer.
Or if you are a serial killer.
Or if you are one, you let me know.
Ah, good times. Well, hello, friends.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome. This is unexpected. What are you doing here? We didn't expect to see you for another week. What the fuck are you doing? Go home.
But don't.
Surprise. Right. Don't. Because we love having you here. I love the response we've gotten so far. It's much higher than I anticipated, honestly.
Honestly?
We're starting out great.
Oh, man. That is a good theatery right there that you've got in your spirit garden.
I seriously think we need to put a dictionary on our website.
I was thinking that today.
Word.
Yes.
Just for reference.
When I was listening either last night or this morning, and you said theatery, and then you're like, oh, I mean, theory. And I was like, we really do need to track Odell's new words.
We do. And what do they call the witter?
The witter.
Mary Reeser.
The witter. Oh, and the devil. The devil.
I think I'd get possessed by the spirits.
Oh, my God. We need to do a track Odell's new words.
We do.
And eventually publish our own dictionary.
I think we do. We'll just have our own language by the time this is done. So you're probably wondering why we're here today, since we initially said that we were only going to give you new episodes every other week. Well, we've talked and we've decided that we're going to start doing special episodes that we call Deadly Shorts, which is kind of fun. But then every time I say Deadly Shorts, I think of someone putting on a pair of shorts that basically just like eats them from the waist down.
Oh my God. I bet that's happened. I mean, I bet that's happened. So yeah, we need to research that.
So the point of these are for us, because we have recorded way in advance. Like we're in the beginning of August now. We've already recorded through the end of October. So that's how far ahead we are. But the idea behind the Deadly Shorts is, well, there are a few reasons behind it. First of all, so that we can come back and clarify some of the things that we've said on past shows, because I can tell you, as I've gone back and re-listened to some of this, I'm like, what the hell am I talking about? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So yes. It gives us a chance to come back and clarify things. There are also times when we're doing our research that we find other rabbit holes that we could potentially go down where we don't have a chance really to gather that information before we record. So we want to circle back and fill in with some new developments or new information that we found on some of these cases that we're covering. We also want to use these shows to address listener questions, listener comments, also any listener stories. So if there's an unsolved mystery or an unsolved murder, especially those that aren't as well known, because the ones that are like really high profile have been out there for a while, we love those. We love them as much as you do, but they've been done to death. So we're trying to bring something new to the show as well. So please send in your stories, send in your favorite mysteries. And also, if there's something weird or creepy or crazy or unexplained that you've experienced, you know, something maybe possibly paranormal or just something that totally freaked you out and you want to share it on the show, please send those in. We'd love to hear your stories.
Yes.
You can reach us on there's a Contact Us tab on our website, or you can send us your story via email. And the email address is killerstory@someoneprobablydied.com. Also, really quick, just want to say that we now have a YouTube channel where I will be putting the episodes and you'll have the subtitles on there. So I know some people are hard of hearing or they can't, you know, or some people just like to read along because maybe they don't know. Like when I say, yeah, my spirit garden, you're like, did he really just say spirit garden? And you can see that typed out. Though I will say that YouTube automatically does the subtitles, and I was going through them and I'm like, yeah, that was spelled wrong. So I will be going in and manually cleaning those up, but just be patient because it takes a while. So
anyway, you have a lot to
do. That's out there as well. We do. So I think the first thing we're going to do is I've got a few questions, a few comments about the show. Also, I just want to let you all know, because this was one of the comments that I got, was thank you for putting in the timestamps and chapters on your recordings.
Yes.
Because there are people that don't want to sit through and listen to this bullshit. I get that. So yes. We want to be respectful. If you just want to get to the stories, you can click on it. And I've got the chapters listed for when the stories start. Those chapters are typically on all of the podcast apps. I know that iTunes does put the chapters on. If you like swipe up, you can find the chapters to click on. I think Spotify might do that. I don't know if all of the apps, but I also have it on YouTube and on our website. You should be able to do that as well. But that was one of the comments that I got, was thank you for doing that. Because sometimes I just want to get in and, you know, I hate these podcasts where you have to go through like 20, 30 minutes of people just bullshitting, which we try not to do. We try to save that till the end, but so that's there for you. I did get a couple of comments about, why is Aaron sound so bad?
Oh, jeez.
I feel like we realize that. Obviously,
to address that, yes.
And you're listening to this now, and it sounds wonderful. It's crisp. It's clear. We're balanced. That is because Aaron did get a new mic right at around episode 6, and we were doing great. And we recorded 6 and 7, and then we realized that she didn't have the setting right to pick up her correct mic on 6 and 7.
It's user error.
Episodes 1 through 5, we were using an online software, so you're getting that kind of max headroomy, glitchy type of sound. We stopped using that. So things are going to get progressively better, and it does get better. I mean, and the people said, you know, I can still hear her, but there's such a difference in the balance between your mic and her mic. Yeah,
it sounds like I'm obviously somewhere else.
Right, like you're sitting in your bathtub.
Yes, exactly. I'm hiding from my family, sitting in my bathtub, talking about unsolved mysteries. But now, Right. Now that we sorted it out, it is 100 times better.
Oh, totally, totally. So right about, and 6 and 7 sound a little bit better, even though you weren't using the right mic, right? Because we weren't using that online thing, which just, because it was auto processing, it just sounded awful. So one more comment that I got, this is from a friend, well, not really a friend, oh God.
Oh.
So, an acquaintance.
there goes one listener. Sorry.
No. So this is someone who's a friend of a friend. And so I haven't spent a lot of time with them. Lovely person. When I have spent time with them, labels.
Okay.
Just digging myself.
What did this person do wrong? What'd they do? Let's go ahead and dig this grave. Keep going. You're about to be planted in the spirit garden, whoever you are, friend of a friend.
Oh shit. I love when I do this.
What did they do? What did the acquaintance do? The person you barely know. What happened?
So it's really not that bad. So this person listened to the show. She said it was fun.
You and just you. For the listeners, he just put that in quotes, but please continue, Odell. I'm getting excited about this one.
She's like, I feel like you're being very insensitive to these people who have died.
So, I'm sorry. Oh, we definitely lost a listener.
Or 6.
Oh, so, dear.
I do want to say this, though. So knowing just what I know about this person, and again, she truly is. She's got a really good heart, a really big heart. She's like, you know, she rescues animals. She's, you know, she's always volunteering. She's a very giving person. And so I wasn't offended by that because I realize these things are very subjective. You know, it's just like reading a book, watching a movie. Not everyone likes the same things. Not everyone laughs at the same things. And just like my friend Miss Renee says, it takes all types to make a world. So I just want to put it out there. We're not here to make fun of these people.
No.
I think the biggest thing was with Mary Reeser because we just completely lost our shit. So I think there are two different ways of looking at this. You could think, obviously, that we're laughing that someone died. That is not what we're doing.
No.
It was the situation. It was how it happened. That is just so fucking unbelievable. And that's how I process things. Like, to me, when I hear these stories, it's almost like a movie's playing in my mind. And something that's so unbelievable like that, to me, presents itself in my head as kind of like a slapstick moment from from a movie.
Yes.
And my immediate reaction is to laugh, and it's more out of disbelief.
Well, I realize, it's also a what else can we do besides right. Like, I don't know how to respond to some of these.
Exactly. And I know that for me, I tend to laugh about a lot of things, especially when I'm super stressed or I just don't know what else to do.
Yes.
Because if I get super stressed or super down or whatever, I need to lift myself up. And that's typically through making a joke about it, just to make light of it, to kind of recenter and rebalance me. Now, that's not to say that I don't grieve. It's not to say that I don't allow myself to feel other emotions. I totally do that. But then at some point in time, I have to start bringing myself out of that so that I don't wallow. So we're not here to make fun of people dying. We don't know what the other story is. So this is like a legitimate, like,
first. You're getting an honest reaction from the other person.
Exactly. Which is why we didn't go back and re-record those first few episodes, because we would never get those honest reactions that we both had to those stories ever again. So I apologize if you feel like we're being inconsiderate. That's not our intent here. We definitely care about the family. We definitely care about these people. It's just a situational thing. So,
well, and I really truly believe, like, I mean, you and I have been through a lot of death. Not that we've committed it, but like, we've lost people before. We are experts in the grieving process. And at the same time, death is part of life. That is just
exactly.
And I'm one of those people that I have got to find some sort of humor in it, because if I don't find the humor in it, then it's just, I can't just be swallowed in depression and anxiety all the time. Like, I've got to find something. So honestly, if I spontaneously combust, please share the story and have a good giggle over a cocktail, because that is awesome. I'm not awesome that she's gone.
Right.
You know, just bless Mary Reeser, but it's just the way that she went out, the way that some of these people go out, man.
Right.
That is just, it is. And there are some coming up, y'all, that are fantastic. If you thought Mary Reeser was offensive, oh God, I'm sorry. Stop listening, girl.
Right. And, you know, if this sort of gallows humor that we both subscribe to really, you know, offends you and you don't like it, it's okay. You don't have to listen. That's the thing. Like, you don't have to listen. I'm not going to be offended. It's okay. It's not, this isn't everyone's cup of tea.
Well, and go to the next episode. It might be completely different, because there are some that are very like, they're not a laughing matter, but.
Exactly. You know, but it's also like, I think about, have you listened to the podcast Dying for Sex?
No, but now I have to. What is that? It's
the most amazing podcast. So it's about this woman who is diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. She leaves her marriage, her unhappy marriage, and she decides that she's going to reclaim her life and she's going to go out and have some, just let herself experience sex, in all of its different forms. And she tells her best friend, they've been best friends forever, these stories. But through the process, it's not only about her reclaiming her life, but the way she takes a hold of life and the way she balances it. There's a lot of really heartfelt moments. There's a lot of funny moments. There's a lot of unbelievable moments. And by the time that podcast was over, I was a weepy, sobbing mess it's so beautiful. Like, it's so well balanced, but it's very much how I process things too.
Yeah.
But it's also how, you know, when I first hear these stories, it's like a one and done thing. And that's my initial reaction.
Yeah.
But then when I spend a lot of time, like with this podcast, there's like 6 or 7 episodes, you know, you get to know these people. For me, the more involved I get in the story, that's how my emotions change as well.
Right. Well, and I think it also helps because since, like, when you tell a story, I'm hearing it for the first time.
Right.
I'm in the same position as the listener. They are hearing this for the first time.
Right.
And it is that initial reaction of like experiencing something as a group, even though we're not all together.
Right.
But it is, we're all figuring it out as it goes along. So there's something very nice about that. Like, I love that. And people are not always going to react the way that you think they should, you know?
Exactly. Well, it's like watching a horror movie. Or any movie, really, when something unbelievable happens and you're watching it in a theater, you know, and some unexpected death or something happens, there are the people who laugh because it's so unexpected and that's how they deal with it. There are some people who cry. Right. There are some people who gasp. I mean, it's just those different immediate reactions. So,
yes, I always get very nervous going to funerals because those are high anxiety situations.
Exactly.
And I'm terrified I'm going to start laughing, not because I'm laughing at my dead family member in any way.
Right.
But it is so intense and it's so, I'm just filled, like I'm so anxious and it just comes out. Like it's either coming out in massive tears and ugly crying or it's coming mm-hmm. out in laughter.
Or both.
Or like, both.
I will vacillate because you get to a point where you just can't do it anymore.
Yes.
And then you start laughing. And my problem is I start laughing and I know I should not be laughing.
Yes.
Which makes me laugh harder.
Yes. Yes.
Even though I'm telling myself, fucking get it together.
Snap. I'm like rebelling against myself. Oh yeah. My gosh. I know.
Which is why Aaron and I can never be in the same vicinity.
You will never see us sitting next to each other at a funeral. No. Ever.
Ever. Or, yep. It just won't happen.
I need 500 people blocking my view before we can go to the same place.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all the comments that I have received so far. Anything you're coming from your way?
No, I mean, just that people are really liking it. They're right. surprised. I didn't tell anyone when we were recording initially. And so
because
then
we've done so many things where we just fell flat on our face, where we thought it was going to be amazing.
There are so many things where Odell and I think that it is the most amazing thing in the world. And we are, you know, doing the figurative high five to each other. And then we present it to someone, usually Adam, my husband. And the look on his face lets us know that, okay, maybe we missed the mark.
That's cute.
That's cute. Adorable. So I didn't tell anyone because I was like, podcasts are all the rage right now.
Right.
And I mean, especially in quarantine. And so I was like, I don't want to tell anyone because they're going to think that like I'm just an idiot and a wannabe and blah. But then when we released it, I was like, so I told a group of friends, I was like, so there's a podcast. And they all got so excited and so supportive and are actually listening to it and writing me after these episodes and stuff. So it's all good stuff. But these friends, they're like friends of mine. They're not acquaintances. So they know my humor. They know what they're going to get with this. And a lot of them don't know Odell. I mean, they don't know you because you moved before I made some of these friends, like these right. mom friends, because it wasn't until the girls got into school. And it's pretty funny explaining, like they think, you know, these girls know me really, really well. But I'm like, you know, I had an entire life before right. my children went to elementary school that I know it's right. hard to imagine, but I lived yeah. with another man. And we would do things like this all the time.
Right. Which is where the name, another person asked me, is like, why did you call it Someone Probably Died? Because they're thinking, you know, just the atmosphere right now with all of the death that's happening. And
yes.
And I told them, I was like, well, so first of all, this stems from where Aaron and I would sit in our apartment when we lived together and we'd be bored.
I mean, we're talking like 20 years ago. Yeah. Right.
And we would sit there and we'd tell each other stories about serial killers or unsolved mysteries that we had heard. And this is basically like you sitting in our apartment with us while yes, we were doing this.
Exactly.
And the reason we called it Someone Probably Died, this was a total fluke. Like we were putting together podcast art or I was trying to find something that stuck. And I had all these different names. And finally, I just threw up Someone Probably Died because whenever Aaron and I would talk about these, we would throw in a hypothetical, which is something else we're going to start introducing into the show yes. as well. We'll talk more about that here in a bit. But it always ended with, okay, well, what would you do? And we would say, or at least I would often say, well, I'd probably die. So basically, the name started as a placeholder just based on something that I would always say when Aaron and I were sitting around having our hypothetical conversations, and it just kind of stuck. So just like we'll be having these deadly shorts episodes pretty much monthly, we're also going to have regular episodes that we call deadly hypotheticals,
yes.
which is basically I present Erin a hypothetical situation and she tells me what she would do, kind of like a choose your own adventure. And then she does that to me. And we're basically going to keep each other in check because we always like to think that we're more powerful and stronger and, you know, we're yes. a survivor. But then we know, like I know Aaron very well. And I know yes. how she would really react. So we're also going to use a moment to, you know, call each other out on these things.
Yes. And rest assured that you will be called out as well, Odell.
Oh, exactly. Oh, no, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. But I do just want to say that, like I mentioned earlier, the listeners have, it's far surpassed what we expected it to. We were seriously thinking, I was like, okay, 2 weeks in, I would expect to have 50 total listeners, like individual, unique listeners that have downloaded both episodes. We are already at 210 unique Hey-o. Listeners. We have a regular, we have people in New Zealand, Brazil, and France, and Canada listening to the show. And the Brazil, France, and Canada people have come back and listened multiple times. Now, I know one of the people in Canada who's listening is friend of the show, Amber Kennedy. She made, if you watch the YouTube version or if you look at our Instagram, I make these little Photoshops with these ghosts that represent, we kind of recreate the story a bit. And Amber hand sewed these ghosts for us. She has an Etsy shop called Shut Up Charlene. So you can find her there. You can also, we have a link to her from our merch tab on our website, where you can go. She makes these adorable hand-sewn stuffed animals. She'll really make anything for you. They're adorable. They're so soft and cuddly, and they're amazing. She's also huge on TikTok. Like, and I will say, we're going to have Amber on the show. She just really swamped right now. She's got a lot of stuff going on. She is going to come in and periodically be on the show and chat with us because she loves all things Unsolved Mysteries as well.
She's freaking funny.
She is like hysterical.
Looking at her TikTok stuff. Oh my God. Odell has sent, because I don't have TikTok, but Odell has sent me some of her videos. I cannot stop laughing. She's freaking funny.
So I've kind of had this love-hate relationship with TikTok, and it's not even really that I hate it. It's just that, you know, I've heard so many conflicting stories of people like saying, if you have TikTok on your phone, you know, you're letting Chinese government can basically get in. They can steal all your bank information and all this other information. But then I read another account where people are actually breaking down what it does and what it is. It is not spyware. It's not ransomware. So that is an urban myth. Basically, Facebook and Instagram can take just as much of your information than TikTok. So I put it back on my phone. Anyway, long story short, I am on TikTok. I am not a creator. I just totally peruse and like some videos. But if you find me on there, you follow me, fine. You're not going to get any content. But anyway, basically going back to Amber, sorry. I found her because, you know, right at the height of COVID, when it first started, there were so many unknowns and we were all locked down and we were just scared shitless. And I downloaded TikTok just, I mean, I had it, but I didn't use it frequently.
Right.
Basically, I just needed an escape. I kind of needed to connect and I needed to get away from just the fear of the unknown, of, you know, everything that was happening around us. And there are a lot of really funny, really creative people on there. So I was just scrolling through and one of Amber's videos popped up and she was reacting to the little girl. Did you ever see that video where the little girl is like, it's good, but she was like trying not to throw up.
Oh, yes. Like trying to save her mama's feelings.
Right.
Oh,
and yes. So Amber was reacting to that. And I immediately knew, okay, we are kindred spirits because that is exactly how I reacted. And so then I started following her. Eventually, I reached out to her. I ordered. She makes one of her homely huggables. She doesn't just do ghosts. She makes these animals. And one of them is a llama that says fuck racism on it. So I ordered one of those and I reached out and I told her, I was like, hey, just FYI, you are so funny. Anyway, we've developed a friendship since then. So she's amazing. She is great. If you want a hand-sewn homely huggable, you can go to the merch tab on our website. And we do have links where you can order your own ghost or you can see she will custom make anything. Long story, just to say that I'm sure that she's some of our listeners in one of our listeners in Canada, but it looks like we have at least three in Canada. So basically, we're international. So right? We're famous. So if y'all want to autograph, just let me know. We'll see what we can do.
We'll see.
Okay. We spent way more time than we intended talking about random stuff, but you know, important stuff. We needed to get some housekeeping out of the way.
I know. We need to get into these episodes.
We do. So what we're going to do now is just kind of do some follow-up on some of the things that we've talked about, or we even mentioned that we were going to follow up on a few things. So from episode one, I talked about the Dyatlov Pass incident. So a couple of people told me, one person actually wrote in from Tennessee. Hello. I forget your name. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. You know, are just killing it right now.
I love you. But the
Dyatlov Pass. Thank you, acquaintance.
They told me that there is another incident that happened up in that same general area. as the Dyatlov Pass. Yeah, called the Chivruwe tragedy. And I think there's one more. But something similar happened. So I haven't, I just got the email yesterday. So
was that before or after? Do you know?
After. It was in 1973. Gosh. Yeah, the Dyatlov Pass was 1959. This was in 73. And then I think they said there's another one that happened in the 90s. And I don't have the email.
Oh my gosh. So, y'all don't go there.
Yeah. So, and it wasn't in the same pass, but it's up in that general area, like in Siberia. So I will be doing a deeper dive on that and will probably be something that I talk about on a future episode. And then also in episode 2, you did the story about Bob Crane.
Yes.
And you mentioned that he was in a Disney movie called Super Dad.
Yes.
So I watched that. It was horrible. It was.
Okay, wait. So he was actually in it. So Disney did not fire him until after the movie.
Right. Though. Okay. So I watched another movie, which is excellent, by the way. It's called Autofocus. Greg Kinnear plays Bob Crane. Rita Wilson plays Anne, his first wife.
Okay.
And then Willem Dafoe, who's just creepy anyway, he plays John Carpenter. And then Maria Bello plays.
Oh, I love Maria Bello.
Yeah. She plays Patricia, what's her name?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So Olsen. Super good. Yeah. It was kind of nice to see it play out. But and in the movie, they do warn him while he's filming this movie that, hey, look, you got to stop showing your boob pics.
Right.
You got to stop doing this shit because you're starting to get a bad reputation. That's why people aren't hiring you. And he was like, everybody likes boobs. What's a big deal? So going back to Super Dad, the actual movie that starred the real Bob Crane, not Autofocus. Anyway, but watching that movie was kind of creepy because there are a lot of scenes where he's hanging out because basically he feels like his daughter is throwing her life away because she hangs out with this ragtag bunch that she's known since grade school. And it's their, you know, end of their senior year. They're about to go to college. And this group of friends have decided they're just going to go to a local city college. And he feels like his daughter is better than that. He wants her to go to this Ivy League, or I don't know if it's Ivy League, but a school that's away from where they are so she can get away from her friends. And he kind of infiltrates their little group. So they go to the beach, they're hanging out. So he goes to hang out with them. And there are all these young girls in their swimsuits. And just knowing what his thought process was just made it really creepy.
Yeah.
But then that Autofocus movie, they almost make it seem like John Carpenter kind of preyed on him. And they also make it look like John Carpenter definitely did it.
Hmm. And we think he definitely did it.
Right.
That's.
And what led up to it was, you know, like you'd mentioned in the story that Bob was trying to get out of this, trying to change his life because Patricia had left him. And at this point, I think if I understood this correctly in the movie, she had filed for divorce, but they hadn't yet been divorced by this point in time. And they also made it look like John Carpenter was probably bisexual because there was some scene where they're having like a foursome and John touches Bob's butt and Bob thought it was one of the ladies, but then they were rewatching the video and he saw that it was John Carpenter and he was like, why are you trying to put your finger in my asshole? And like he went off the rails and...
Wait, when was this movie made?
It was in 2003, I think, 2002, 2003. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember any
of
this. I
don't know. It's really good. It was nice to just kind of go back and put all the pieces together based on, and you did a very thorough job, by the way, in your story, watching that.
Thank you. Oh, and there was that one thing that, because you and I had talked about the woman who portrayed Helga.
Yeah, because there
Patricia
was Hilda
Olsen. And then mm-hmm. Wasn't it her stage name? It
was Sigrid. Yes, because Sigrid, I told Aaron, I was like, you said it wrong because I'm looking at IMDb and it's showing this Sigrid blah, blah, blah.
And so, that was her stage name. Yes.
Which, why would you choose Sigrid over Patricia?
And it's Sigrid, what was her last name?
Something really weird and
it
random.
It was weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
but they definitely made it look at like Willem Dafoe was definitely kind of more of a predator. And he, you know, the Bob Crane was kind of a closet perv with all of his nudie mags. And then John Carpenter kind of pulled him out of this and by introducing him to these, you know, unsavory things. And that equipment, like we mentioned the equipment.
Right.
So he was able to something like most of this, the women knew they were being filmed. But the equipment, like when he would go wherever Bob was doing his dinner theater, he had like a full on trolley of a recording equipment that he would take with them.
My God.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, I was like, okay, there's no secret here. What was going on?
So our imitation of the camera work and like the camera starting up and everything was accurate. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't think the sounds, because this was right before, they called them VTRs, video tape recorders, before we got to the video cassette recorders.
Okay.
And so
okay.
It was kind of like recording on a, it was a magnetic strip. So like using it, an 8-track basically, which then went into the cassette players. So.
Right. Okay.
But the cameras were fucking huge. There was no way that you could deny.
You weren't hiding it on a shelf.
Exactly. And sometimes they would, but it was like a huge shelf. So they had all this electronic equipment. And so it just looked like another piece of electronic equipment that was up there.
Oh, good Lord.
But then there were also some times where they were doing some scenes where John was like literally up in Bob's junk while he was getting serviced by these women. So
Willem Dafoe was up in Greg Kinnear's junk.
Yes, basically.
Damn, I got to watch this movie.
It's good. It's definitely worth watching.
Okay. Oh, good to know.
So that's really all I had to follow up on.
Okay. I've got a couple of things.
Awesome.
So the first one was Elisa Lam. Mm-hmm. So I did just a little more. I actually watched some videos of interviews of residents of the Cecil after this happened. And one of them was so funny. This reporter, what is wrong with you, sir? This reporter asked this woman, who is clearly traumatized, asked this woman, so are you upset that this was happening in the hotel that you were staying at? And this woman gives him a look of like, you are an idiot. And she looked at him and she goes, wouldn't you be upset? And just like could not believe he had asked her that question. Like they were asking people as they were checking out of the Cecil because there was a dead body in the tank. Right. One woman, this British woman, was checking out and she said that whenever they would turn, like while they were staying there, when they would turn on the faucet, it would shoot out black first. I know. And then clear water. And so then another thing I looked up was how heavy are these actual tops to the water tanks? Because Elisa was only like 120 pounds soaking wet. I thought they were a lot heavier than they were. They're actually just about 20 pounds. That's still a lot to lift up for a tiny little girl.
Right.
And I don't say that in any sexist way, but that's, 20 pounds. She's 120 pounds.
Right.
So, and to lift it up and get in there would be very difficult, no matter what.
And then put the top back on.
And here's the other thing. I read one of the court transcripts, and there was a maintenance worker who said that in order to get to the roof, there were four ways to get onto the roof. Three of them were fire escapes via interior doors. Mm-hmm. And then one was a staircase from the 14th floor. No matter what, to get up there, an alarm sounds when the roof door is open that you can hear in the top two floors. No one reported hearing anything. And it also sends a signal down to the front desk. No one at the front desk saw anything. So then you climb up to a platform to get to these water tanks. Mm-hmm. To get to where the steps are, the ladder is for the water tanks, is like a maze. And you're squeezing between a lot of equipment. And then you climb up the ladder to get into the water tank. And then she would have had to lift it, get in it, and put the top back on. So now they did bring dogs in there to, like the great sniffers to see if they could get her scent. And they did at one of the windows that leads to a fire escape. But then they lost her scent when it got up to the roof, which is very odd.
Right.
So those are the things. Also, you may want to know what they did afterwards, like to clean. I would want them to replace every single water tank and every single pipe.
Right, right.
They just flushed it with chlorine.
Oh, well, good on them. I mean, like, that's gross, but then thinking about this hotel, you're like, okay, well, at least they did that.
I know. Honestly, they could have just left it alone and wait for the, the black of the water to just fade out.
Just let your water run.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, that's my Elisa Lam update.
Okay.
And the other thing that I was looking up, we talked about with the Atlas vampire. Mm-hmm. First of all, I did double check that we were right about the amount of blood we have in our body. And we were. Like, it is that little. I really thought it was so much more.
Oh, so we weren't right. The reports were right. We were wrong thinking we had like 10 to 20.
Yes, we were completely wrong. The fact checking that I did then is correct. We don't have as much, but our theory that we have an unlimited blood supply, apparently we don't.
Well, I was thinking we had at least like 10 gallons or something.
Yeah, but no, we don't. Also, I looked up a few statistics because my biggest thing was like, they think that this was a one and done murder, which how often, like how common is that where they don't commit murder again? Now, from what I read, there was like this giant scientific study that honestly, halfway through, I was like, this has become gibberish. I don't understand any of these graphs. But there was one thing that stood out to me, and it's basically saying that when you commit murder once, that's like breaking the seal. It is very easy. You are 250 times more likely to commit murder than a person who has not yet committed that first murder.
And so are we talking like, because I'm very detail oriented.
Yes.
Are we talking like even if you commit murder accidentally?
No, we're talking first degree murder charges.
Got it. So like it was premeditated.
Yes.
Got it.
Once you do it, it's very, very easy to do it again. So it isn't very common that they don't do it again. And also, this statistic kind of scared me. 40% of those who commit murder get away with it. You have a 40% chance of getting away with murder.
Like today.
Today.
So then it must have been much higher back then.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
God, 40, that's a lot. That's almost
40%
of
the current population could get away with murder. Also, fingerprinting, it was around back then. It actually started back in the 1800s. They started experimenting with fingerprinting. But again, this place was like wiped clean. There were no fingerprints, you know, and if there were, like I said, all the police were just kind of trampling through there and not really paying any attention or, you know, so that's what I found out. So those were a little jarring. I will admit, like the 40% of the population can get away with murder really scares me. And the fact that murderers are 250 times more likely to commit murder again, that really it's like, you know, when you're drunk and you have to go to the bathroom, you break the seal, then you just keep doing it because feels good. That's how they look at murder.
Wow. That is insane.
Good times. So
the other portion of the show is where we take, as I mentioned, listener write-ins, listener, you know, stories or, hey, check out this or do this. So I have a couple, actually I have three.
Oh,
I'll make them brief. I don't have a lot of information on them, but these are like recent developments. One of them I found myself, and is it bad that like when I saw this pop up,
you
I
got was excited, like, didn't you?
I wasn't really excited. I was like, oh my God, it was unsolved because I could put it on the show.
I know. That is where my mind goes now.
So this one, this one's concerning, but also a little weird to me. So I first read the story on July 31st, 2020 was when it was first reported, which is about a week ago from today when we're actually recording. And it happened on the Oregon coast around Devil's Punch Bowl and Otter Rock. And basically, a woman's body washed up on shore. For those of you who aren't familiar with Oregon or the layout, this is right on the coast. It's about right dead center. But Devil's Punch Bowl is like this. There's a cliff, and it's naturally, I guess the rock has eroded, to look like it's a huge circle. And when the waves are crashing and when the tide comes in, it fills up with water, and then it gets, you know, water will shoot up out of it. So it's, it can be pretty powerful. But then when the tide is out, you can actually walk down in Devil's Punch Bowl, though I don't think I would ever go down there just because sometimes the tides can come in so quickly and there is no way out once you get in there.
I'm not going anywhere that's called Devil's Punch Bowl.
Right. But anyway,
I am not supplying the devil with any refreshments.
No punch for you, Satan. But anyway, a woman's body was found in this general area, like I said, between Devil's Punch Bowl and Otter Rock. So she was believed to have washed up after an undetermined amount of time in the Pacific Ocean. At this point in time, when I first saw the story, she had yet to be identified. But then later in the day, it was determined that her name is Annette Fagan. She was 58 years old. She lived in Portland. So I have been checking over the course of this week just to see if there are any new updates. Nothing has been said, which leads me to believe that there's something afoot here because they didn't, there's no mention that she was ever missing. There's no mention, that no one had put out in like a missing persons report on her.
Now, I realize it could just be that maybe she was single, and this is just me thinking, but she could be single. She lives alone, kind of like I do. When I go out, like if I'm going to go to the beach for the day, I don't always tell people where I'm going. So maybe people just didn't know that she was missing. And so they hadn't filed a missing person report on her. Could be as simple as that. But I just feel like within the last week, something would have been brought up. So police are investigating their, you know, if you have any information, they ask that you call the Oregon State Police. You can call dispatch by dialing star OSP or star 677, or you can call 1-800-442-0776 and reference case number SP202-13257 if you saw anything. So, and I will be following this case and I will do some updates on our next Deadly Shorts if something else comes up. Also, there are a couple more cases. There were some human remains found in a Prosser backyard. Now, Prosser is in Washington. This story just came in yesterday, August 7th. And it turns out that human remains were found in some person's backyard, which is, they're about 40 feet away from the Yakima River, which is in kind of south central Washington. But the guy was digging fence posts on the property and they found bones that are confirmed to be from a human foot. So, of course, immediately I went to, did someone bury Mary Reese or Slipper?
Oh, Mary.
They were found partly inside of an old shoe, which is so weird. But then they excavated the site and they recovered small bones and other items. And so it's gone to the forensic anthropologist to look at the remains to try to determine what's up. And then the last one, which is also really weird, this is also in the same kind of general area in, I think it's Toponish. And this story came in on August 6th, that friend sent to me. But in June 2019, this kid, I guess, was on his way from California to a concert in the gorge. And him and his friend went missing. And then the Civic, the Honda Civic that they were driving, was found burned in Wapato, Washington. And this was June 2019. And then just recently, just this week, a couple of days ago, police found, or road crews found skeletal remains of two people in a field. And they believe the remains have been there since last winter. And they're thinking it might be these two men. Yeah, so I will be digging into those two stories a little more as well over the next couple of weeks, and I will give you an update if I have any new information when we record our next Deadly Short.
Okay, I want to say one thing about the severed foot, like still in the shoe, right? So this was something I had come across a while ago, and
I've
been
a shoe and a foot, or a foot and a shoe.
Yeah, where since August 2007. At least 20 detached human feet have been found on the coasts of the Salish Sea in British Columbia, Canada, and Washington.
Yeah, I was going to have, when we bring Amber on the show, because she lives up in that general area.
Yeah.
I was going to ask her about them.
Well, okay, so I have just, I only have two little things. One is we are going to, I'm investigating it right now, but Odell, we're going to break a big story. So it's a friend of mine, her friend.
Has, this is a friend is or an acquaintance?
An actual friend has gone missing up in Massachusetts. And there is a lot of weird shit surrounding this. I mean, weird shit surrounding this. There are Facebook groups that I have joined. This is an ongoing investigation. The family, they live down in Houston. The dad was a prominent doctor, has since been let go. There's all sorts of just questionable things around this. And this is one of those people that you'll see a picture of her. She looks like an everyday, like Katie mom. I mean, just suburban mom, looks so sweet. Supposedly was just the nicest person in the world. And she just is missing. Nobody, nothing. So anyway, I'm investigating that right now. I have tons of leads thanks to this friend, Beth Ann, who is awesome, and she is a fan of the show.
Love it. Hi, Beth Ann.
She's been sending me a bunch of stuff like, oh my gosh, she's going to be a source of information.
Maybe she can come on and we can interview her.
Yes. Oh my God. She totally would. The other thing is a friend of ours, Odell,
yes, Katie. Miss Katie. Hi, yes, Katie.
She mentioned the Houston Heights Pooper.
Pooper. Yes, that's P-O-O-P-E-R. Yeah.
And you are hearing that correctly. Like, it's someone who shits. So there is a serial pooper that back in 2014 in the Heights, he and I have to read some of the things. Like, there's this one article I found that is from metro.co.uk or whatever it is, okay, on the Heights pooper.
So someone in the UK is writing about a Houston Heights person who's phantom pooper, okay?
Yes. So what this guy would do is he would poop and
do we know it's a guy?
Yes. So
okay,
here's what happened. Well, okay, we think it might be multiple people, but like this started
group?
There is like, so it started in 2014 where someone was pooping in the front yards of homes and wiping their own ass. They would bring toilet paper and then leave the toilet paper, use toilet paper on the sidewalk.
No.
So that's what was happening. So he had many names. First, it was the serial pooper. Mm-hmm. He's been called the fecal ninja. And the deviant defecator. Okay. So this article, I just have to read some quotes from it because I was laughing so hard. He has repeatedly emptied his bowels in the neighborhood of Woodland Heights in Houston, Texas, and has so far escaped unpunished. One headline claimed, neighborhood haunted by serial pooper, and it's not a dog. Another headline said, serial pooper deposits evidence in Houston suburb. I cannot even with this. So let me see. Oh, hold on. Where is they called him a police officer looking for the pooperator. Said, you have to worry about anybody that would go to this extreme to do something, no matter what the reason. The defecating delinquent reportedly brings paper towels along to clean himself up and then just throws them on the pavement. He is still, quote, on the loose. That article made me so happy. So anyway, they find this guy. They like have these videos of this guy breaking into homes and cars in the Heights. And his name is Jesse Hernandez, and he was arrested. He's been arrested 25 times since 1981.
Wow.
In Harris County for everything from theft, trespassing, drug possession, burglary, evading arrest, arson, and drunken driving and pooping. So, but they said he obviously has some mental problems. And so the charges for the defecating were not pressed.
Right.
This was back in 2014. He has since been arrested for other things and is no longer in that Houston Heights area. But then I read an article from 2019 that says the Houston Heights pooper strikes again. And Odell, there's video.
Whoa. Oh, wait. Do they actually show him taking a shit?
No, Odell. They show this woman.
Ooh.
Taking a shit.
That is something I do not want to see.
And this resident in the Heights said, her name, Mrs. Martinez, said, I thought she was tying her shoes, but when I kept jogging, I realized she was taking a crap. It was ridiculous. I gave her a mean look and kept going. So have no fear, y'all. Mrs. Martinez is there to make sure that
stopping
the serial
the
pooper
with dirty looks
knows that they are nasty. So yeah, that, so they think that this Jesse Hernandez guy was the one who was doing it because they have video. I mean, and it is the funniest footage, like the still pictures from this footage of him squatting in someone's yard, looking directly at the camera, but it's at night. So he has like the white eyes and stuff.
Like a deer.
Yes. Yes. It is literally a deer caught in headlights because he's taking a shit on their front yard.
Thank God.
I love this city. I mean, it's moments like that where I'm like, of course there's a serial pooper.
Right. We had a dude who would ride the MAX, which is our commuter train, and sometimes the bus, who would cut women's hair.
Like, that were on the train?
Yeah. He would, like, sit behind them and then cut their hair and, like, keep it as a souvenir.
Ew. Yeah. Would they know that he cut it when he did it? That's so creepy.
Yeah. They called him the TriMet Barber. And he got a lifetime ban from buses and the MAX. But he's this white dude. I guess he got arrested again. Like, he got out. Jared Walter is his name. But he was 32 years old. He was arrested in March in 2019. And then I guess he got released. But then on February 27th of this year, he was arrested again. After
for
he
the
inappropriately,
same thing? Or? No,
this time he was inappropriately touching a woman on the MAX train. Which is just
come
as,
on, man. Get your shit together.
Right. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? I mean, I realize there is mental illness. There's mental illness involved. I get that, and we aren't good about treating those things.
No, this is just one of those things, like, obviously, we need to get better because, right. Like with the Heights pooper, they don't want to press charges against him because he obviously has mental problems. Okay, right. Are y'all doing something about that?
About that, right. So let's treat the problem.
I mean, I don't see that. Thanks for arresting him for breaking into people's homes and stuff, but obviously there's deeper things going on.
Problem that we need to take care of. So, all right. Well, that's all I have today. We don't do an in memoriam on these. Those are only, those are reserved for our main episodes, but expect to see these probably monthly, though we do have, it's like October. I will just tell you right now, we have some fun stuff planned for October.
We're so excited.
We've got a top 10 horror movie episode and we have a ghost story episode. So, we probably won't do a deadly short that week or that month, nor will we do our deadly hypotheticals. And then around the holidays, we've got something special planned there as well.
But yes.
Like I said, we'll be back probably typically you'll get one of these once a month where we'll just recap. And again, we don't intend for them to run as long as today's episode did. We just had a lot of housekeeping stuff that we needed to do. Send us your stories. Send us some messages and
please,
let us know.
I know there are more Beth Ann's out there who have like a friend of a friend that's gone missing or they know of something or something happened in their neighborhood. Just I am realizing that there are these unsolved mysteries all over the place.
Exactly.
So if you know one, let us know.
You know, if you've listened to the show at all, you know that I love the ones with a paranormal bent. So if there's something weird or creepy or freaky that's happened to you, that you need to get off your chest. You don't even have to share your real name.
No.
You don't even have to say your name on the show, but we definitely want your story. So.
And I like the stuff with the serial killer twist. That's my favorite. Yeah. So if you know a serial killer.
Or if you are a serial killer.
Or if you are one, you let me know. I don't think I want to do that.
I don't either. Nope.
Oh,
nope.
God.
I know. I was going to go into forensics when I was in college. And then I took one class where we had to think like a serial killer. And I was like, wait, I have to do this like every day for the rest of my life if I do this?
It's so dark.
That's okay. My gosh. Thanks.
It is so dark. If you are a forensic psychologist, I would love to have a conversation with you. And I want to talk about your personal life and how you're doing. Because I can't imagine you're doing well.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, well, on that note, we're going to go. Thanks for checking in. And we will see you next week with a regular episode.
See ya.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. To ensure you don't miss future episodes, head over to iTunes or your favorite podcasting app and subscribe. While you're there, give us a 5-star rating. You know you want to. If you're interested in more information on anything you heard on today's show, check our website at someoneprobablydied.com. Here you'll find past episodes, show notes, and links to a lot more information. Oh, by the way, the opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts, and it should not be assumed that they are shared by our friends, family members, or employers. See you next time.